born ready.
I was born ready.
Nice.
Okay, welcome to the Daniel Town Planning Commission meeting. Wednesday, February 19th, 2025, 7 p.m. The Wasatch County Services Building, Conference Room B. First item of the agenda is public comments. If we have anyone here that would like to make any comments.
Come on, Kim.
All right.
Just happy to be here.
Okay, then we will move to item number two, which is a discussion and possible recommendation on the Geneva Rock conditional use permit application. So this is included in there. It didn't get in before through the deadline. I had them included in the packet. I looked through it. I think they've done a great job. We're still waiting for the zoning application to be certified. That hasn't happened yet.
Is the annexation by the state?
Yeah, I'm sorry, not zoning, but the annexation.
Kim, do you have another pen?
There is no zone change, there's just.
I don't.
That's all right.
Subdivision.
If they're done with that thing.
So my suggestion would be to read through this, look through for any questions, and be prepared to make a decision for our next meeting. There have been some complaints with CMC. Don't know whether they're justified or not, but is Todd coming in this next council meeting, or is it going to?
In March.
In March, okay.
He had some health issues.
Next meeting?
Because that might actually be helpful.
The council meeting in March.
Town council.
Yeah. But if we can do that, give you a chance to talk if you'd like to.
Okay. I think you guys have had a chance to read the studies that we provided.
I don't think they have.
No.
No?
I think this is the first everyone's seen it. I got it in an email that I saw yesterday.
Yes, it's in house.
Kim included it.
I got it this morning.
So I'll go through it. I'll just kind of high level.
Okay.
So under the last hearing that we had, there were some requests where the Planning and Zoning Commission reached out that you guys wanted us to provide more detail or some engineered responses to mitigate dust, noise, select the right roads, and then operational lighting for the site. So we have reached out to third-party consultants or some firms to help us come up with a good response so we can mitigate any concerns and come up with some conditions so that we can, you know, fulfill or mitigate any challenges that could come up those three different, or those four different areas. In that packet, you will find a fugitive dust control plan that's approved by the state, right, to help mitigate any fugitive dust that may be emitted from the site. Also, as part of that, we did a fire engineering performance sound study where they recommended that, you know, between the option of an earthen berm and a fence, that we erect something to at least 15 feet tall, because that's kind of the lower height of the bucket, and that's where that comes from. One thing that wasn't in the packet that I did want to provide you guys right now is kind of an example of what that berm and fence, that's landscaped. I'm not saying this is the exact one, but this is an example of what it would look like.
Good.
Right? Just to kind of help give you a visual on that. Let's see here.
Do you have one for me?
I do have one more if you'd like one. Sorry, I didn't mean to
give you out. Yeah, no, it's okay. Then I can make it part of the town.
Again, I want to say that's an example, right? Let's see here. As far as the noise, a couple of the other items that were recommended were to use, let's see if I can read it correctly, but to use white noise alarms for backing up, and to train and to make sure when we park the vehicle on the site where it limits or reduces the amount of backing up on site, where, you know, we have a loop on how the trucks can operate through the site. As far as the facility height restrictions, you know, I'll just go over the different conditions that we have proposed. the plant silos not to exceed 75 feet in height. No other building shall exceed 50 feet in height. We have submitted with the FAA, and we have received approval from the FAA, that our height passes all federal rules and regulations in the area. As far as preloading operations, they'll only occur when temperatures are above freezing. Backup shall be minimized as much as possible, reduce noise from alarms. White noise style backup alarms will be used instead of traditional beeping alarms. Non-essential fixed lighting shall not be used. Essential lighting shall be directed south whenever possible, and there's a diagram of that lighting. A 15-foot berm and fence combination shall be constructed for noise and visual mitigation. The berm shall be landscaped and maintained free of noxious weeds. There, we'll talk about dust mitigation. We'll adhere to dust control management plan. We'll comply with the Utah Department of Environmental Quality regulations. We will obtain and follow a fugitive dust control plan that will be submitted to the state. And then also, a manometer, a magnetic pressure gauge will be installed to measure the differential pressure across our baghouse. And what that does is that verifies that the baghouse or our emission control device is operating properly and efficiently. So you keep those records to make sure. I mean, that's proof that it's operating how it's designed. And then we'll calibrate it annually and keep the daily records of those, the manometer, that pressure differential across the baghouse. As conditions warrant, the haul road, of course, agro stockpiles will be periodically sprayed with a water truck to reduce fugitive dust. The watering log will be maintained on site. So if there are any questions, you can come on site and ask for that log at any time you guys wish. Let's see here. As warrant, a sweeper truck shall periodically sweep paved surfaces to reduce fugitive dust. Again, a sweeper log will be maintained, and again, you guys can request those records at any time to verify that that's happening. And then if necessary, the haul road may be treated with a dust suppression such as magnesium chloride to help solidify loose fugitive dust. As far as operations, we want to reduce any noise during the nighttime hours, so from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. We are proposing to not perform any barrel chipping from that time, just to help reduce the noise of the nighttime hours. And then we also provided a haul route. Actually, there's two different routes that we put in there. They were both evaluated by Reed and Associates, a civil design firm. They evaluated those based on all the types of vehicles, the double bellies being the largest. They can make all those turns and accurately and safely we could use both of those routes. So, I mean, right now we're proposing that we potentially could use both of those. If you guys have a preference, we're okay to select one of those. But we have thought we could use both of them to help kind of reduce some of the traffic coming and going from the site.
Good. And did you have any questions?
Good couple. So are you thinking that your silo is going to be at 75 feet, or are you designed enough to know kind of where you're looking at with that yet?
I do. As of right now, we're designed about 45 feet with our initial design. We are proposing, on the site, there is a location for expansion for growth, and as the site develops, yes, there is potential to put one in there at 75 feet.
For a taller one later on in like a phase two type build out. Okay.
Yeah. I think the only thing that I've seen is with the lights directed towards the south,
yeah.
I'm wondering if it would be better to direct them to the north to the rest of the, which is also industrial area, or to the south is residential.
More residential.
Yeah. That would be my
thought
as well.
But we can go in there and reword that.
I didn't know if that was just
hopefully it's just
maybe that was
things around, or
maybe that was just a misunderstanding on my part on how we designed that. But yeah, we'll make sure that design, but not just reword,
that they point away from the residential.
Correct.
Okay,
I can do that.
Perfect.
We prefer it aimed right in your kitchen window.
Yeah.
That's what we like.
Very nice. At the airport flashing.
That's what the airport
right.
Over 40 years, so we're used to that, huh, Gary?
No. I say that's why I moved.
The airport light could flash in your.
No, so I didn't have that airport light flashing in my back window all night long.
On the traffic routing?
Yes.
The wording's very specific to say that the Geneva Rock truck drivers will comply with that haul route. Do you guys have a lot of third-party drivers that are coming in and bringing aggregate?
There potentially will be third-party drivers in there, so we can reword that to state that traffic associated or affiliated with...
Yeah, you understand what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, makes sense.
That some Joe truck driver can't just say, "That doesn't apply to me."
Correct.
So that, I think that would be a good thing to incorporate into there, if we could. The only other thing that, and I still don't know the right answer to address this more fully to get us comfortable, is I know we talked about if there's any, like, what's an appropriate decibel level of noise. I know, I read through, I mean, you got a ton of stuff going on in there from that engineering or the firm there, and I'm sure a lot of it does a lot of things to help it, and maybe it's enough, I don't know. I don't know if through any of that, they have thoughts on what levels you feel like that might be able to mitigate things down to, or if you've had experience of what other sites kind of run at. I'm just trying to get our head around this, and this is coming from an accountant, so I don't know.
Right. I'd have to go back and do some more research to be able to give you an educated response
sure.
to that question.
Okay. I think if there's anything on around that type of stuff that might just be helpful to give us
sure.
a little bit better. I think what you're proposing is great. I think you're obviously going down the right path and a lot of good steps, but
okay.
I think that'd be the only other piece. And then aside from that, I don't know that I have a lot of other comments at this point.
One of my comments was around that also. You said on here, on, I didn't get the detailed reports. I just had the 1-2-page report. Was that, where did I find it? Just when you're going to spray the road, let's see, where did I find that? As conditions warrant, a sweeper truck shall periodically sweep. What does that mean?
Well,
I mean, warrant by who? By me coming by and saying that's too much dust, or a magic number, or
that's for us
more
to,
specific?
To comply with the state's air quality
okay.
requirements.
To
right?
keep those numbers.
It just was pretty vague, and I'm like,
right.
yeah, because so, a lot of people can use that against.
Right. I mean, it's the same with watering the roads. For example, if it rained that day, if there's more, depending on the temperatures, if it's hot, if it's been 100 degrees for a few weeks, that's kind of where some of that verbiage comes in there, because the temperatures, the atmosphere, it's different depending on the time of year and depending on how many trucks we're running. So you can't say thou shalt water every day or three times a day, because
thou shalt.
It's different.
Okay, I was just
inside.
Concerned a little on
so
that.
So that's kind of where some of that
okay.
language comes from.
Okay.
We can fine tune it to read kind of what comes out of the state's rule books. And say, you know, when we are exceeding, or you know, to maintain the standards from the state,
whatever the state says you have to do,
that the sweeper truck will be deployed as needed to comply with the standards by the state.
Okay.
That's good. Anything else? Okay, I'd accept a motion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Make a motion to continue. Whatever we're calling this item on here, this the Geneva Rock conditional use permit application for parcel 09-6276.
Okay, is that a second?
Second.
Okay, call for the vote.
Wild, yes.
Bangeter, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Wait, yes. So I'm just, let's all go through this and be ready to bring up any issues in the next meeting. Questions, and then hopefully we get to a vote on this in the next meeting.
Said, I have a question on how that process works. We started with using CMCs as a template of mm-hmm. this is what we're offering up. Does the final CUP come from what you are proposing back to us, or are we writing? Are we going to make these changes, offer it up again? I mean, how does this get to an end?
Okay, typically we will write up what those are.
Okay.
We may heavily plagiarize what you've given us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess in my mind I was going to go back and make some of these corrections you guys have mentioned and send it back to you so you guys can use that.
That would be great.
Yeah, that would be great.
And then the next hearing, when's the soonest?
Next hearing.
1 month.
One month.
It's not.
Yeah,
it's
the
it.
Third Wednesday.
Third Wednesday.
And then they
we'll make
a
recommendation to the council.
And then it goes to the council.
So, and then I have a question with that. Where concrete batching is a permitted use in industrial zone following a conditional use permit. To my understanding, the Planning and Zoning Commission can approve it and does not go to the town council. It is done right there.
No, I think you're actually right. I need to look again, but I believe you're correct.
That's the way I've done it and all the other, if it's a permitted, it's already a permitted use, town council, it gets final approval right here at the planning zone.
We'll double check that, but.
You're probably right.
Correct. And thank you for reminding us.
Hey, we're always learning something.
I have a question, just because I don't remember. I did get a survey map. Are you guys on parcel one, the 40-acre parcels that were proposing this, or the smaller one? I know we talked about it, but I couldn't remember what.
It's basically back behind Rob Armstrong's house.
Yeah, I did not bring those maps with me today. We brought them for every other.
You know where Rob lives?
Rob Armstrong, I think I saw his name around here somewhere.
If you look at the traffic map, here's a highway to work here, and it's a 13-acre parcel.
Oh, so it's out of this 40-acre one?
Yes, it's a piece that's.
Piece of the 40.
That's part of that subdivision that's been submitted.
Rob lives behind John Water. So when Rob's in John Water, or John Water, then Rob's in them.
The road.
There's a, still a section of RA5, and then it gets to the industrial portion.
Here's Armstrong right there, Robert Armstrong right here.
So it's behind this house.
But only 13 acres of this 40-acre.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Okay, I just couldn't remember where it was.
Yeah, and if you're going down 3,000 South, then it would be basically behind John Water's house, but quite, you know.
Quite ways.
Quite ways back.
Yeah, got it, okay.
It's right behind the American Eagle plant to the east, to the east, or to the west of CMC.
West of CMC, gotcha. And the berm that you're proposing, is that on the east side?
All the way around.
All the way around the 13 acres?
It's not all the way around.
South.
It's just the south.
The south side, so it'd be this side, not Armstrong's side, but.
No, it would be Armstrong's side.
Is he south?
South.
That is the south side.
Okay, I've got turned around, okay. Awesome, thanks for clarification.
If you look, the lighting plan, I know we showed other plans, but this lighting plan.
Yep.
If you pull over, you can see here's the berm.
This is the berm, okay. I see the little trees.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, it'll be a little bit different than what's depicted there, but that's the general location of it.
Okay, that's what I just couldn't remember. Thank you for clarification on that.
And then, is there anywhere possible you guys could communicate back to us if you guys can approve it with the next Planning and Zoning Commission?
Yeah, I can communicate that. I've been in touch with the state too, finding out about the annexation.
Sure.
So I'll just put it all in one email for you.
Perfect.
I'll actually take a look real quick.
Okay.
This is the south. This is the 3,000, okay, 2,000.
I think this is the quietest meeting I've been to in a whole year.
Well, then why aren't you?
It's good. That's because he's got a Bronco uniform on.
I'm scared of my kid. He'll beat me all the way up the stairs.
When I walked in, I locked the door behind me.
This is the old hospital, bud, so be careful.
Be careful, there's some crazies running around.
I just have one question, though. I'm sorry I was a few minutes late, but the, on the agenda was the subdivision. It was already voted on. Was that discussed?
No, I changed the agenda.
Okay.
And it's in the town council's hand.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's right.
Yeah.
And it was continued.
Yes.
Waiting for the annexation.
We already sent a recommendation, a positive recommendation, the council now has to.
Great, okay. Thank you. That's what I thought, I just.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of confusion there, but we got the agenda updated. Okay. Do you have the code up, Richard?
Pulling it up, I'm trying.
You typically do.
I'm trying to get there too.
What section is it?
It was, I don't know.
Some administrative procedures, maybe?
Exactly.
General provision, 61, 65, general plan.
Okay. Yeah, this is usually an Eric question. He remembers this stuff better than the rest of us, but.
Where is the dictionary?
I found that the council can revoke it.
Yes.
Yes, they can.
But I'm trying to see who, try to get to where, if we can approve it on our own.
Yes.
Did everybody sign in?
Yeah.
There you go.
This is bad.
Whatever happened to the rezone up Big Hollow, or on that property that was so heated a couple weeks, or a month ago?
It was denied.
Yeah, but it got heated in this one too. Preacher's like.
Haven't heard of it since it came.
It's good.
How's Bummer's house doing?
Bummer's house?
Bummer's addition.
Oh, it's good. Hasn't even fallen off the house yet, so. He did a good job. Only got one door that doesn't close anymore from settling. That's not bad, there's a lot of doors, you know? I'm not really sure that I'm gonna be able to find it very quickly here.
I'm looking at 823.03.
Yeah, I'm in 823.
And I believe, from what I'm seeing, that does end at the planning commission.
Yeah, when I read it, that's the way I understood it.
And it goes back to the planning commission for modification or revocation, so it's not going to the council.
Right. Or it's already been through the council. The council's already created the code and already approved the code.
Right.
Or convention. They've already approved it as a permitted use under these conditions, and the planning and zoning has the authority to approve the conditions.
Right. So I think we're good.
Okay, perfect.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your help. Hopefully one more time.
We'll get there.
Okay.
The third Wednesday's March 19th. So
yes.
At 7
yeah.
again.
It's yeah. exactly a month
yes.
from today.
7 o'clock.
Thank you.
Thanks. See you guys.
Thanks.
Thanks. If you could have anything additional that you want to me by the first,
okay.
That's what Eric's deadline is to review it. That would be great.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion that we follow the agenda out of order again and move item 3 to after item 7. So
seconded. Can you motion your, are you allowed to motion? Or do you need us to motion?
Motion? I'm just recommending a motion.
You'd like a motion?
I would like one.
I'll make that motion that we move the discussion on non-conforming lots down below the Smith Garage application that has been continued.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Banger, yes.
Wild, yes.
Scary, yes.
Okay.
That's all right, I'm in a hurry.
Number four, we haven't received any additional information on that one?
No.
Make a motion, we continue it?
Okay.
Can we do four and five?
No.
No.
Just do them separate?
Do them separate, please.
I make a motion, yeah.
Okay, call for the vote.
Wild, yes.
Banger, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Wade, yes.
Okay, who made the motion?
Motion, second.
Okay.
Pam's not saying anything tonight, she's mad.
No, she seconded the last one.
Okay, and I don't believe we really have to do anything on five, because we aren't going to take any action unless someone would like to.
If we don't need to, that's not.
Okay.
Okay. Business licenses.
This one.
I handed out.
Yeah. No complaints?
No.
I make a motion, we recommend for approval the Tender Touch Massage business license application.
Second.
Okay, call for the vote.
Wild, yes.
Banger, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Wade, yes. Okay, item number seven.
Continued.
As far as I know, we haven't received any more information on that, right?
No.
Okay, call for motion.
I'll make a motion to continue the Smith Garage application to our next meeting in March.
Second.
Okay, call for vote.
Wild, yes.
Banger, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Wade, yes. Okay, so we had applications in here for non-conforming lots. We lobbed it over to the council.
Yeah.
And they, of course, lobbed it back to us.
Bunch of jerks.
Second that.
Commissioner Banker.
And so, since the minutes were printed, we probably, oh no, that would be the council meetings. Did you have what the council?
No. What the council did?
Yeah.
Their discussion before they kicked it to us?
So they continued Melanie Norris' lot of record application for 6 months to give you time.
Oh, to give us time.
To consider what we need to do about non-conforming lots and lots of record.
Who's kind of them?
Okay.
Again, just recommendations, but the non-conforming lots keeps coming up.
Right.
So what do we do?
Well, we have a choice. We can say we don't want to change anything.
That doesn't fix it, though.
It doesn't fix it, but also doesn't break it, because we need to make sure we don't break it.
Because that's the concern, is anything you do could open a can that.
Of words.
I was actually going to bring the.
And we're still in litigation on one non-conforming lot.
So let's table it till we.
No, I'm just saying.
But I'm just saying, you need to start thinking. And the one thing it talks about in the code is.
That's the guy that burned the house down by me.
Just because you have a lot doesn't mean you can build.
Understood.
And so there are a lot of other requirements. And so it's like, okay.
The county won't help?
No.
No.
But.
Because they're the ones that did it.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, is there other towns that have done something that we could research that might?
There's.
Charleston, I mean, local towns
the,
that have found a solution that might be palatable.
Charleston's 1 acre lots. So they don't have the problem.
I see, okay.
Utah Property Rights Ombudsman has written some opinions on it.
Okay.
Which has some good ideas and things you can look at.
Utah Property Rights?
Yeah, Utah Property Rights Ombudsman.
Okay. I mean, I kind of think we should, I don't know, do.
I'd like to take a look at that.
Can we get, is it like?
Sure.
Could you get us a copy so I don't have to spend time looking for it?
No, of course.
If you know where it's at?
No, but I can find it, and I'll just send it out to everybody.
Because I just need to be educated on what our options are. I mean,
no,
I was like, well, let's just leave it alone. It's not broken, but I think it is broken.
I'll do it by the end of the week, and that'll give you guys a month to think about it.
That'd be great.
Okay. So you'll have to check your iPad.
I will.
Do I have to text you to check your iPad?
Stays there.
I think it would be safe if you texted to say, look.
I'll text everybody when I've actually sent it to you.
That's all I need.
Okay.
Hey, grab that red thing and go look at it.
Go refresh your email. Be good.
Because I think it's a problem, but I don't know any solutions.
But we can also make it into a bigger problem.
Absolutely. I'm not proposing that. Improving on it, if that's a possibility. It might not be.
Yeah, I think we should decide if we want to make a change or not.
Yeah.
Do we know how long the lawsuit's going to go, Gary?
No, we don't, and we never will. It's over when it's over, and then there could be another one, because this one has been over several times before.
Yeah, this is the fourth time.
Yeah, I'm not
sure
which one.
Something like that.
So, you know, that's a property owner's right to do that.
Amen.
And I'm just looking it up because there's a couple of things that are kind of interesting about it. If I can find that. So basically, the lots have to meet all of the requirements, you know, of a conforming lot other than width and size.
Width and size.
Mm-hmm.
So size will be our biggest challenge.
And so right now,
and frontage.
I believe so, but I think it says width and size. I'm trying to find it.
Still, you have to have 250 feet of frontage to have a lot.
So that's close, somewhere around there.
Two lots that I put on Little Sweden, I think that he told me they had to be 250, and those are 251 feet or something like that.
Well, they don't have to be. They don't have to have 200 feet of frontage, but they do have to be
251 point something.
Yeah, they do have to be 250 feet wide at the building setback, which is an issue sometimes, because you could have a 10-acre lot, if it was only 249 feet wide, in order to build, you'd have to put a road down it and turn the house the other direction.
Sure.
And the question is, do we really want to force people with otherwise
something?
I guess you could call that a non-conforming lot, but I mean, you can't subdivide one less than that now. So that's one thing where you actually have an advantage if you have a non-conforming lot. Because if you had a 200-foot wide lot, you could still build on that 200-foot width. It's going to put it closer to the neighbors.
I wonder how many of those houses on Daniel Road are going to have 200. Even 200.
That was part of the issue that the
probably 100.
Town council had with the Melanie North lot of record.
It was shy.
It wasn't a little shy. It was a lot shy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, almost half of what she needed, or around half.
And that was one of the things they cited, and that's.
Sure.
And the things you start running into, even with larger lots, is you've got to be 200 feet away from any other septic tank. You've got to be, septic has to be at least 100 feet away from any well, which might be on the neighboring property line.
Sure.
And so by saying it's a non-conforming lot of record, and therefore it may be buildable, but may not.
Yeah, I mean,
depending on all those things you just mentioned.
That's right. That's all back to the health department to decide that, though, right?
No, it's not.
No? They'll approve a septic?
No, I'm just saying our town code says that has to be 200 feet away. It has to be.
Oh, that's our code that says
that's
that.
That's our code that says that.
Oh, okay.
Now, I asked the question, and I don't know the answer yet. Does the health department trump, or does the
code trump?
And I don't have the answer to that.
take it to court, I'll bet you the code, the health department.
I bet the health department.
It depends. I mean, it may be the health department if it's stricter than our code.
Sure.
But, you know, we're going to ask that question of people that know. So there's that. You know, building setbacks. You know, and it still goes back to how was it subdivided?
Well, that, to me, that's the big thing at the end of the day. I mean.
Right.
When are you going to say that this thing all started and, because otherwise somebody finds a way to split their lot today and it's a non-conforming lot and they're going to.
The question is when did the subdivision laws take effect? And I don't have a definitive answer on that one yet. We have a lot that I know of right now that the owners deeded the house and part of the acreage back to themselves long after subdivisions were required. And now it shows as two lots in the county, but it wasn't divided legally. It was just an owner that had a survey done and then deeded a portion of it back to themselves, which is not illegal.
Sure. Are they related to that person?
You can do that all the time, right?
Are you?
Yeah.
No.
Dang it.
Or do you know of another case?
I'm not going to say
anything now.
I'm still worried about this because Carson's house, I don't know if it has 100 feet and it's not an acre and blah, 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 on the corner of Little Sweden, you know?
Yeah. But that's been there for
100 years.
I don't think anything we're going to do is going to make you tear down your house.
No, if it was done before zoning was required, then, you know, you're fine.
Well, Lamar Bell built it. They built it for Lamar.
Yeah. And so that's really the question. You know, the one that I'm talking about happened in the 1990s, which is long after subdivisions were required. But getting back and getting those answers from the county aren't always easy because of, you know, when did the law change, what happened.
So what do you mean subdivisions are required? Because right now you don't have to do it as a subdivision, right?
Yes, you do.
You do?
If you want to split the property and make it a legal lot, you have to do it as a subdivision.
So you have to call it a subdivision. That's what Joe's trying to do. You don't technically want a subdivision. Interesting.
Yeah, which is exactly what had to be done.
On my parcel.
This parcel.
It was the only way to get three parcel numbers was to do a subdivision.
Actually, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a legal parcel.
Okay,
numbers,
yeah, that's enough.
Legal, I guess, but
yeah. But the county will go register anything, but that doesn't make it.
I don't know, the county surveyor, he was really strict.
Well,
me.
Yeah, if you had it surveyed, but you could go deed half of a lot to yourself and have it recorded.
You're
and then it shows
all
up.
Great ideas.
It shows up as two lots on the tax map, but that doesn't make them buildable, and it's actually illegal to sell them separately. And the state actually has some laws that say a realtor will lose their license if they do sell one.
Don't tell Jim Ritchie that.
Okay.
But like I say, I would look at the Property Rights Ombudsman's Office opinions.
Okay.
And actually, there's a whole bunch of interesting things out there that are helpful.
Sounds like you have to be an attorney to figure this one out.
And sometimes reading this, it's like I read it and it's like, what?
No, those aren't written.
Oh, not in legal.
No, they're written for people to actually understand what's going on.
That's good.
Because. You know, they're basically saying, this is what the law is, this is what we would recommend. They say, you know, we are not, you know, our decisions are not legal precedent, but this is how we think a court case would work out, and these are how court cases in the past have come through that.
Okay.
But that is kind of the problem, because you can, for tax purposes or whatever, go record it. Division of that lot, but that doesn't make it a legal buildable lot of record. And we have a lot of those where people just, you know, oh, the county is changing the rules. You know, now we only need 100 feet of frontage instead of 200, but we don't want to go through the expense of doing a subdivision, so they quit claim deeded it back to themselves.
To wherever.
And so that's caused a lot of issues. So.
can think of a few.
You know, the other thing is, are there things that we can do to mitigate that? Is there maybe a affordable housing component? I mean, I'm just throwing out ideas. I don't know whether any of it makes sense. But just something to start thinking about, and...
How many non-conforming lots would you guess we have in our town? I mean, we did do that.
Okay, we have a lot, but I can't tell you how many are not built on.
Okay, good. Yep, I understand.
And so I want to do that.
A lot of them were grandfathered in, we'll use that word loosely.
No, you don't even have to use a list. But I want to get a aerial map of the town with the parcels on it, with the imagery, so we can tell. What?
Can the county get you that map?
Yeah, we can get it from our...
From the GIS files.
So, yeah. So that's kind of my thought, and then Christine said she'd help me do the work to try and just kind of get inventory. Because the county actually, on their mapping on the website, has made it a lot easier to look that up and get that information, so I think it can actually go fairly quick. It's still gonna take a fair amount of time, but I think that would help us understand what the issue is. I mean, I know there's one parcel in the town that has no access from anywhere. It's a third of an acre. It's 30 feet wide, and I can't remember, 80 feet long or something like that. And it's like, so what do you do with a parcel like that?
And none of the people that around it own it?
No, it's, yeah, it's surrounded totally by other owners. So, you know, that one will never be buildable. But it was actually used as part of the land that was required for a subdivision to get the lot size that they needed.
Imagine that.
So, there's all kinds of strange things that have happened.
Strange things.
So, anyway, does anyone have any other ideas, or?
No, I mean, I think reading that stuff will be good. I think the big thing for me is, yeah, it's gonna be not building this in a way that opens up
can worms.
1 acre zoning everywhere or whatever.
Right.
So.
But at the same time, I'm saying, if we're gonna open it up for smaller non-conforming lots.
I know.
Shouldn't we allow it?
Then I agree. I think that's the question, is if you're gonna change anything.
Right, you kind of got to look at that, because...
Then is that the next move, and is that the right move to move it? Just do it the same time and just be done.
We're gonna let you build on a non-conforming lot, but now we're gonna penalize those with conforming lots and say you can't do the same thing.
Because it's not big enough, whatever.
I know, that's where, to me, it gets back to that, kind of where you were saying with your timeframe of your subdivision stuff. Maybe that's the right place to draw the line. Maybe it's not, I don't know. Because that's where I was trying to get my head around. Otherwise, I'll go and chop mine into 7 parcels tomorrow, and they're all non-conforming, and away you go. But
I got 4 acres.
Yeah, move the kids down with you.
No.
So I think we're gonna have to be very careful.
You still need that buffer. Okay.
But I think that'll be some good reading.
Okay, so Utah Property Rights Ombudsman, anything else you want me to send out to everybody?
No.
Okay.
Well, I was going to put a search in, but it's not going to work in here because I'm not connected to anything.
There's nothing in here.
Did you do something new right here? Wasn't there like a podium?
Yeah, no, there's
that podium, but that other one was there too.
There's an internet connection, but it's not fast enough to do anything.
This is smart kid.
I know.
I didn't see that. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Okay.
We're done.
We have a plan report that should be in the back.
I saw it, actually.
He's not even here to tell us anything, so it wasn't there.
He's investigating your complaint.
Oh, good.
Just so you know.
All right.
Yeah, good to know that, huh?
It was complete last week.
Oh, well, it's still complete. This is good.
Didn't move backwards.
It's for the whole month.
Yep, they just, Eric wants us to know that you've got a building permit. You're still on there.
Bless his heart.
You know what that means in the South, right?
No.
What does it mean?
There you go. Be careful what we say.
Google it.
Don't say it in the South.
Okay, any questions or anything on that?
Be Googling that when he gets home.
Okay, then I would accept a motion for item number 10.
I'll make that motion, we adjourn.
Second?
We didn't approve the minutes, but.
Right, because we, the printer.
The printer was.
Has the minutes.
Okay, has the minutes.
It ate the minutes.
If the printer's not going to approve them, okay.
Okay.
Can we borrow a couple of minutes of your unofficial time?
If it's unofficial, let's.
It wasn't voted on, was it?
Let's adjourn. No, we need to vote on the adjournment.
But since it hasn't, maybe we could listen.
Well, the question is, if it's unofficial.
It's unofficial, Jenny.
There's four of us.
Okay, nine minutes continued.
I'm happy to leave.
No, I'll leave. No, seriously.
Okay, minutes continued. I need a.
I'll make a motion, we continue minutes.
No, seconded.
Bangeter, yes.
Wild, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Wait, yes.
Okay, now what else we got?
Thanks, Kim.
Adjourn.
I made that motion.
I already seconded it.
Okay, let's vote on it then.
Oh, my God.
Who made the motion? Pam?
I did.
Oh, Kip, okay.
Wild, yes.
Bangeter, yes.
Skinner, yes.
Wait, yes.
Who seconded?
Richard. I really. I got a 2-day old.